Reek, written by Shasta Firecracker, and read by Flower Parish. This is a Star Wars Rebels fic, rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationship Alexander Kallus / Garazeb Zeb Aurelius. Summary: Ezra complains about Zeb's smell, except this time, Kallus is around to hear it. Just had to get out and get some air for a while, that's all. The room reeks like Zeb. Bridger. Kallus almost didn't recognize his own voice, raising without conscious permission into a commanding bark. Old officer instinct had possessed him for a vertiginous moment. He was standing in the galley with his newly refreshed cup of caff, and the children had just walked in, Bridger moaning his woes to Ren. Kallus had been thinking of the current mission, nothing more, deep in the wash of numbers and details, pros and cons, until he'd heard the other two approaching down the corridor and caught the edge of Ezra's voice, the nature of his complaints. In the galley door, Ezra stopped to stare at him, eyes wide, mouth slightly agape. Sabine reached over and pushed his jaw shut with a finger, snapping Ezra out of it. "What?" Ezra said, bewildered and affronted. "Why are you yelling at me? Why is Kallus allowed to yell at me on my own ship?" "It's not your ship," Sabine said. "Hera decides who gets to yell at who." "Did Hera say you could yell at me?" Ezra demanded. He half-turned, beginning to call, "Hera!" until Sabine shushed him by wrapping him into a headlock. Kallus watched all of this and hoped his face was neutral. He tried to calm the racing of his heart. His mind had gone blank. He wasn't sure why. He'd bitten his tongue to hold back his abrupt, overwhelming urge to say more to Bridger, like Bridger was one of his own cadets or inferiors. Old protocols, still stuck in rusted loops, deep inside his empire-broken brain, demanded that he give Bridger a demerit for inappropriate behavior and a scrub job to hammer in the lesson. For disrespecting a superior, Kallus's brain cautiously supplied. Was that it? That didn't feel right. In any sane organizational structure, Zeb would be Ezra's superior, but here they were comrades with different skill sets, and although Zeb is senior, he still defers to Ezra in Ezra's areas of expertise. And they're bunkmates. No bunking situation would ever cross hierarchy like that inside the Empire. Bridger's words still rang alarm bells in Kallus's head. Reeks. Ezra said Zeb reeked. It was just rude, Kallus supposed, grappling uncomfortably within himself. It was rude, and Ezra shouldn't say that. Not like that. Unfortunately, the kids seemed to have picked up on an alternate possible reason for Kallus's outburst, and Ezra started to grin even though he was still in Sabine's grapple. "Hey," Ezra said, starting to laugh. "I think Kal's just defending Zeb's honor." "Oh." Sabine let Ezra go, with one more noogie for good measure. "Oh, Ez, I can't believe you insulted our most handsome, strong, honorable, sweaty, stinky, fuzzy, cuddly, rude, grouchy, swoon-worthy." "Stop," Kallus ordered again, and of course, they did not. His denials would only fuel their banter. They kept up the teasing, ramping up to more ridiculous adjectives, trying to outdo each other, and Kallus tuned them out. His stomach was a tight, cold knot. He couldn't fathom drinking the caff he'd come in here to get. His mind was like a scratched data chip, blinking warning signs too garbled to understand. He set his caff on the counter and braced himself to push past them, pausing only long enough to say, "Apologies." He wasn't even sure they heard him over there goofing around. When he was nearly out of earshot, he heard Sabine suddenly call, "Hey, you forgot your cap." But by then, he'd managed to close another bulkhead door between himself and the kids. Kallus's heart thudded at the base of his throat, adrenaline warming his fingertips. He just needed a moment. He just needed to think. It was probably nothing. Ezra let himself back into his and Zeb's room not half an hour after he'd left, with his head back and his nose pinched, complaining that the stink was too much. Considering Zeb had been doing reps out of sheer boredom and had worked up a decent sweat, Ezra was less wrong than usual, so Zeb had just laughed and thrown a pillow at him as he'd fled. Zeb hadn't been expecting him back for hours, so the kid slouching in only a few minutes later was a surprise. "Just came to say that Callus is being weird," Ezra said, and then scrunched his nose. "Force's sake, it is bad in here, though." "Stop your belly aching, I'm finishing up," Zeb said, counting off his last two push-ups in his head. He clambered to his feet, scrubbed his hands over his head, and said, "CO2 scrubbers are at Mac. It'll air out quick as you please." "Well, whatever," Ezra said, and grabbed his forgotten datapad. "Just go talk to Callus, maybe. He was really weird a minute ago. Went to his room, I think." Zeb heaved a sigh, despairing of getting anything more helpful than weird out of Ezra. He didn't go running straight to Callus just on Ez's vague advice. He slouched to the fresher first, fruitlessly yearning for the real hot water showers of Yavin, and let the unsatisfactory Sonic do the bare minimum of wicking away his sweat. Fur dried, he gave himself a quick sniff test and found himself inoffensive to a Lasat nose. If that was still pungent to a human one, well, that was a human problem. Human olfactory senses were so much less sensitive than a Lasat, right up until the moment a human smelled something they didn't like. Then they were a whiny little bantha shit about it. It was one of the most universal traits about humans that Zeb had identified over the years. Clean, dry, and redressed, Zeb headed down the corridor to Kanan's bunk, and Callus's now too, wondering what, exactly, Ezra meant by Callus being weird. Zeb thunked his hand against the door and said, "Coming in, Cal," before palming the control. He had no reason to think he needed to use more decorum. Whatever weird could mean, the way Ezra had said it, it sounded more like maybe Callus was in a snit or had gotten offended at a messy countertop or something. The door clunked open. Callus wasn't in a snit, and he didn't look annoyed. He didn't look much of anything, really. He was sitting on the edge of Kanan's bunk, which was unusual for him. He was very particular about not interacting with anyone else's space or possessions unless specifically invited, and he was gazing into middle nothingness, expression drawn. Zeb furrowed his brow. The look was familiar enough in war. Zeb had learned to recognize it on all sorts of species and had seen it on his human companions plenty. Zeb walked deliberately in Callus's eyeline, reached in front of his face, and snapped his fingers. Callus didn't startle like Ezra or Bean might have, just drew his brow down and cast a mild glare up at Zeb's face to say, "I know what you're doing." "Base to Cal, come in," Zeb said, trying to tempt Callus with a grin. "Copy," Callus said flatly. "Aw, ain't no fun today," Zeb said agreeably, and flopped down onto Kanan's bunk next to Cal, bumping shoulders. Callus was stiffer than usual. "Ezra said you were weird." Sterling observation. So, maybe less weird and more tetchy. "I'm not..." Callus trailed off with a sigh and raised a hand to rub at the corner of his eye. "I'm not," he repeated. "Some sort of deep philosophical thing I'm not getting there, or..." Callus tipped his head to the side, looking pained. Finally, he said, "I snapped at Bridger, that's all." "Yeah, I do that all the time. He'll live." "I didn't mean to," Callus muttered. "It just happened. Something he said just stepped on an old... It doesn't matter." He paused, then added, "I'll apologize to him. It won't happen again." Zeb frowned at the side of Cal's face. Maybe his practiced blankness would work as cover from people who didn't know him, but Zeb had been getting to know him plenty. Cal was still troubled, deeply, by whatever Ezra had said. "Ain't healthy keeping it in," Zeb said. "It'll fester. Festering among crewmates is a short walk to falling out, and that gets crews killed. If Ez needs to know something he ought not do again, tell him." Callus turned slightly to look at Zeb, distantly bemused, as he always was, by Zeb's directness of action extending past his fighting style and into the way he lived his entire life. Maybe a little yearning there, too, like Cal still wanted to change. Callus's eyes slid away from Zeb again, and he studied the open door, one hand rubbing compulsively at the other, where they lay clasped between his knees. After a long moment, he said, "I won't tell him. He doesn't deserve whatever it would do to him. For me, of all people, to say that." "Say what?" "That he reminded me of an Imperial, for a moment. My squad on Lassan." Zeb's brain shorted out. He froze. "Only for a moment," Callus murmured. "And not really. He didn't mean it like that. It wasn't the same." Zeb grunted and flicked Callus's knee to make him stop muttering to himself. Slowly, he said, "Cal, back up. Explain." Callus closed his eyes. "I didn't realize. It took me a moment to place it. Bridger was complaining about your smell. Guileless as he is, he said you reeked." Cal took a deep breath, nostrils flaring. "The troops, they'd complain about it. The smell on Lassan. I remember the gagging. One man retching in an enclosed troop deployment vehicle has a knock-on effect. But they'd say it was..." Callus's face tightened, his jaw holding on to more and more tension. "They'd say it was an animal stench. They'd do all they could to remove the sentience, to objectify, not to think about the faces. And I gave demerits when I heard them, to the ones who said Lassat reeked, because that was beneath them, I thought. Then, as if anything was beneath us, with what we were doing, I'd give them a demerit for foul language and then hand out disruptors and their orders." "Cal," Zeb said quietly, dangerously, "shut up." Callus did. They sat in silence for a long time. The tremble running beneath and between them was a quake through dangerously unsettled rubble. Callus, it was clear, could not extricate himself from reliving the past in this moment. Zeb absolutely did not want to follow him there. Wanted to bring Cal back to the present, yes, but selfishly, so selfishly, he didn't want to look at Agent Callus today. He wanted Cal. Agent Callus was always there, would always be there, but it wasn't possible. It wasn't fair or possible to look at Agent Callus every moment of the day when Cal was here and real, and Cal brought Zeb comfort. Hypocrisy? Absolutely. Who among the war-torn didn't hold at least a little hypocrisy close to their hearts? It kept them all sane. A demerit for xenophobia and an order to commit a war crime in the same breath. Zeb could feel the edge of the black hole that was pulling Callus towards it. It sucked in everything. Light, time, all ability to exist in the present. If both of them went into it, who would be able to pull them out? Zeb needed to stay away from that deep, dark pit. He'd been in it before. He was sure he'd be in it again. Hopefully, when that happened, someone else would be outside it, stretching out their hand to help him out of the dark. Maybe that someone would be Cal. Finally, Zeb spoke. "It reached to us, too. To Lassat, not just to human noses. The smell at the time hadn't been natural Lassat musks mingling, although Zeb knew humans found that smell strong and often unpleasant. The smell, the one emanating from the event horizon that Cal is circling, had been a combination of burning fur, melting fat, ashes, and rank, unwashed bodies." Cal nodded, unable or unwilling to speak. "In Ez's defense, I was just working out," Zeb said, sweating like a stuck puffer pig. It didn't work to crack the dark weight between them. Callus worked his jaw for a moment before saying, "Like I said, I won't be telling him. This is only on me. It won't happen again." Zeb put his hand over Callus's knee and said, "It will, though." Cal looked at him sidelong, a little anger underneath the blankness. "People will say things," Zeb said, "totally innocent things, and you'll be back there, or somewhere else just as bad. And you'll probably lash out. Ashla knows I do." Callus muttered, "I know, I can control it." "Who says you didn't control it this time?" Zeb demanded. "Ezra can take a little snap. He could stand to be told when he's being rude, too. Didn't do anything more than that, did ya?" "No," Callus said, "but it isn't my place. To be irritated when someone's slagging off someone you like, That's always your place. Almost inaudibly, Cal muttered. He's your family. I'm... Shut up, Zeb said again, without the danger this time. He moved his hand from Cal's knee up to the top of his shoulder, squeezing partly around the back of his neck. Shut up about who's whose family. Shut up about what's your place. Cal, you didn't do a damned thing to harm anyone today, and now I'm getting mad that someone's slagging off someone I like. Both of those someones being you. Finally, after a painfully long pause, the corner of Cal's mouth quirked up. He let out a small snort. He raised his hand across his chest to grip over the back of Zeb's, wrapping his fingers tight around the side of Zeb's hand until Zeb gripped back. Apologies, Cal said, still quiet, but prim in the way he only was when he was being sarcastic. I'll try to stop badmouthing your friend, much as I don't like him, personally. He's got his ups and downs, said Zeb, but I think he's coming along. Improving. Is he? Better all the time. Callus murmured, I'm sure he'll be pleased to hear it. Zeb snorted. He squeezed Cal's hand and then extricated it to drag his claws through Cal's hair. Idiot, he said fondly. I'm hungry. Gonna go see what's in the galley. Coming? Callus stood when Zeb did, idly reaching up to try to knock his hair back down from the bird's nest Zeb had made of it. As they both headed for the door, however, he paused and reached out to brush his hand against the side of Zeb's again, as if thinking of holding it, but he let it drop and tucked his hands into his pockets. I don't mind how you smell, you know, he said, making Zeb glance back at him. His ears were faintly pink. I mean, it's not like I only tolerate it. I like it. Aw, Zeb needled. You know that makes you a freak among humans. Cal's ears went pinker, but his shoulders squared up, like he was ready to throw hands in defense of being a freak. Zeb knew the man belonged in the rebellion for a reason. Cal just sniffed and said, Well, I'm flattered, really, Zeb said. He reached over, hauled Callus close, making the man yelp in alarm, and held one side of Cal's head while rubbing the side of his face and beard hard into Cal's sideburn and hair. Although the gesture could be sensual for Lasat, the way humans pressed their mouths together, the way Zeb did it was more like a human laving their tongue all the way up the side of another human's face. Not exactly romantic, more for the gross out. Callus spluttered and reeled back, his facial hair sticking out and his hair licked upright as if Zeb had taken a bristle brush to it. Cheerfully, Zeb said, There you go, Lilo de Lasat just for you, since you like it so much. Callus broke off into aggravated mutters, trying to rescue his hair by dragging his hands through it. But he was well away from the edge of that black pit of memory now, and Zeb thought they were safe from the past for at least a little while. And as they went into the galley to rescue Cal's now cold calf and put together a meal for everyone, it did not escape Zeb's attention that Cal never tried to clean off the scent mark that Zeb had left on him. The end.